Thank you very much. So it's my great pleasure to present today some findings from the third National Survey of Sexual Attitudes and Lifestyles on Mycoplasma genitalium in the British population. And I should start by saying that this was a study led by Dr. Pan Sonnenberg, who wasn't able to attend the conference and on whose behalf I'm presenting. And I'm also presenting on behalf of a wider group of researchers from Public Health England, from University College London, and from the National Centre of Social Research. And the data that I present today are presented in the context of a paper that we published in The Lancet at the end of last year, describing in the population in Britain, in those aged 16 to 44, the prevalence of four STIs in urine. And those were chlamydia, gonorrhea, high-risk HPV and HIV. And although we tested for MGen at the same time, partly because of the amount of data and the sort of interest in the data, we didn't feel that we could include this in this paper because there's so much to say, and I hope I'll be able to share a flavour of that with you today. So Mycoplasma genitalium, for those who don't know about it, was first discovered in the early 1980s, and since the 1990s has been testable using nucleic acid amplification tests. But it remains the case that relatively little is known about its natural history, about its associated clinical features, and indeed about the epidemiology. And there are relatively few population-based studies, and of those that there are, all focus on younger people, none are in people older than 27, and most focus on women, only two look at men. Lisa Manhart has published a really nice systematic review showing the very consistent evidence of association between MGen infection and non-gonococcal urethritis in men. And I was going to say that there remains inconclusive evidence about an association with women, but Lisa presented yesterday a really nice new study and meta-analysis, pooling studies, including studies published since 2011, to show actually that there is quite compelling evidence of associations in women with a range of reproductive tract diseases. And I guess the only caveat to make is that the associations don't prove causation, but the data are really important. So the objective of this study was to describe in the British population aged 16 to 44 the prevalence by age and gender, and to describe risk factors associated with MGen and co-occurrence with other STIs. A short amount of background on NATSAL: it's a probability study. The age range is 16 to 74. We sampled 15,000 or just over 15,000 participants, and urine was collected only from those aged 16 to 44. The response rate was 58%, and the data that I'll present today are weighted. In terms of our approach, we undertook anonymized testing without return of results based on informed consent for this, and if you're interested, the rationale for this is written up in a paper in the Journal of Medical Ethics. So we're very much undertaking population-based survey testing rather than clinical diagnostic testing. We recognise that the samples being urine are suboptimal as a specimen for some of the STIs I'll talk about. But we used what's called a first burst device, which specifically collects the first 4 to 5 mils of urine with the aim of yielding a higher pathogen load for bacterial STIs. In terms of the lab data, the lab analysis, the analysis was a real-time PCR targeting the MGPA gene, with all positive and equivocal results confirmed using the Aptima research assay for MGen. There were just under 10,000 NATSAL participants aged 16 to 44. 60% of those who were invited agreed to give a sample, and we ended up with just over 4,500 participants yielding a valid MGen result. Okay, so some data. The prevalence in Britain from 71 participants who tested positive for MGen was very similar or identical in men and women, 1.2 and 1.3%. But what was interesting was that we found a substantial difference in the youngest age group. So the prevalence in men aged 16 to 24 was 0.4%, whereas the prevalence in women in the same age group was 1.7%. And breaking this down a little bit further, what was interesting was that we found the highest prevalence was in women aged 16 to 19, whereas the prevalence was highest amongst men in those aged 25 to 29. There was no MGen indeed in the youngest men aged 16 to 19. And just because it's sometimes raised, the idea of a screening program I thought it might be interesting to point out that were a screening program piggybacked on the National Chlamydia Screening Program, for example, aged and testing or screening those aged 16 to 24, because of the age distribution and the amount of MGM that's found in the older age groups, such a screening program would only identify 91% of MGM in men and 2/3 of MGM in women in a sample aged 16 to 44. Making the comparison with chlamydia, we found differences in the age distribution. Particularly was the significant difference in those men who were in the youngest age group, where the prevalence of MGEN was significantly lower. In terms of other demographic risk factors beyond age, we found no associations with ethnicity in women, or indeed in IMD, which is a measure of area level deprivation. However, we did find a very strong association with black ethnicity in men, and when we and also with IMD. And when we adjusted for age, ethnicity, IMD, and number of partners in the past year, the association between MGEN and black ethnicity persisted with an odds ratio of 5.4. In terms of behavioural risk factors, we found a consistent pattern of increased risk. Increased associations with a range of risky sexual behaviours. Whereas in men, the key finding was really an association with increasing numbers of partners in the past year. As part of the story of the epidemiology of MGEN, we found a strong associations between MGEN infection and any HPV type, as well as high-risk HPV types. And although in men there was an odds ratio of 3.7 in making the same comparison with chlamydia, the confidence intervals were very wide, and actually the study was underpowered to detect such an association, with only one man and one woman who were detected with both infections. In terms of associations with previous diagnoses, in men, as might be expected from previous studies, there was a strong association with a history of NSU or NGU, and also in men an association with syphilis and a previous history of gonorrhea. And in women, the association that we found was a reported history of trichomoniasis. So where does this leave us? The prevalence in men and women in the British population was very similar, but we found some interesting differences in the age distribution between the two groups. And although, again, the prevalence was similar between MGEN and chlamydia, there were differences in the age distribution. And let me just make a comparison with the other studies which are published. So in the top bar is the NATSAL overall estimate for women, and in the second bar just those 16 to 24 to make comparisons easier with the other studies which have looked at younger age groups. So compared to the US AdHealth and the London Chlamydia Screening Programme, the estimates were similar with the NATSAL. And as might be expected, our estimate was lower than those studies that have used vaginal swabs. Again, the overall estimate in men in the NATSAL survey was similar for those aged 16 to 44, with a lower prevalence in those aged 16 to 24. But bear in mind the wide confidence intervals in this graph. Our data really support the very compelling evidence that MGEN is an STI, showing the very strong associations with risky sexual behaviour and associations with HPV in urine, previous trichomoniasis in women, and a history of GCL syphilis in men. And so we believe our study provides some answers, at least for the British population, as to the population distribution and co-infections with MGEN. But quite clearly there are as many questions as there are answers about the natural history of this infection. Increasingly, assays will be available and questions asked of clinicians as to who and when to test. And there remain a number of challenges relating to appropriate treatment. And so there's still a fair amount of work to do to pull all this together and to put together the best evidence to understand what might be the best approach to deal with this infection. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Okay, please step up, speak loudly.
That was really a terrific study. Thank you so much.
And introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please, ma'am, I'm from the University of Washington. That was a beautiful presentation. Thank you. I have a million questions. I'll limit myself to just two. First of all, I'm curious to know if you made any comparisons.
Yeah, so the answer to your first question, there are some small differences between those who did and didn't give a sample, but what we were able to do was to account for those differences and weight the analysis. So we weighted not only for the response to the main survey, but also to the provision of urine. And that's quite a complicated process, but the aim is to limit the extent to which that bias might affect our results. Clearly, for the youngest men, where we found no MGEN, you can't weight a zero. So that's an issue for us, which we've thought through quite carefully and which we're currently writing up. In answer to your question about the first burst, it was interesting to use. The interviewers really loved it because it was this bit of kit that they took into the participants' homes and they somehow just got behind it and they used it, and I think it was easy to use for the participants. It was very clear sort of where you pass urine and just the whole process was simple. We undertook some piloting work to make sure that the first burst didn't affect negatively our estimates of HIV and HPV prevalence, and also there's a paper published to show that it increases yield for bacterial STIs. How much it improved our estimates is difficult to say, but one of the PhD students in the department I work in has done some sensitivity analysis to work out what kind of effect that might have on the chlamydia estimates that we have. Yeah, so there were on one of the slides, maybe I should talk to you afterwards because I know we're short of time, but there was for women who have sex with women that were more likely to have MGEN, but there was no association for men who have sex with men.
Thank you.